It's good to be with you today as we continue to celebrate and journey through Advent. I am thrilled about the way we're approaching this season. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I know that Patsy was stoked about teaching purgation to the preschoolers this morning. If you weren't here last week or you have a leaky brain like some of us do, you recall that this season in Advent, we're talking about the classical stages of the Christian pilgrimage. And so we begin the first week of Advent with awakening and our desire to wake up to the deeper reality around us. We talked about the story of Daniel in the lion's den and how Daniel is a beacon for an awareness that there is a larger reality than even the evils we face in the present moment. And today we're talking about purgation, which is just everybody's favorite word. How many of you have used the word purgation in a sentence in the last 10 years? Patsy, you win. Catherine, I see you raising your hand. What's it mean? Use it. I'm just joking. Don't answer that right now. Purgation is this idea of repentance, of purging, of turning away and setting aside. It's a deep rooted idea in many traditions, Christian and otherwise, about setting aside that which encumbers us, that which keeps us from journeying forward on the path towards holiness with God. And that is ultimately where we're heading on this pilgrimage. We're heading to next week illumination and to the final week of union, because we confess that ultimately our desire is to be one with God. Joel is a great place to stop this week. Joel is a difficult prophet to date. We don't know if he's exilic or post-exilic, but somewhere around that time, the prophet Joel wrote some words down about purging ourselves, about repentance, about turning. It's also interesting that we pair that with this reading from Luke this week, in which we talk about asking and receiving. Asking and receiving in the Christmas season is kind of a sticky wicket, because we've been trained to ask for what we not need, but what we want, right? Everybody wants something. And you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you get what you need. And that's what we're talking about. We need the Holy Spirit within us. We need God's Spirit poured out on us. And we live in a post-Jesus world. I don't mean Jesus is gone. I mean, we live past the time of Jesus, where we confess that God's Spirit has been poured out on us. But sometimes we are not as capable of recognizing that as we are at others. And so we come back to this idea of returning. And that's really what Joel is about. He says, even now. And the even now should let us know that Joel is already talking about something else. And what is it that Joel is talking about? Joel is talking about the fact that bad things are happening, that the people of Israel are spread out and destroyed, and that it seems like everything is going to Sheol in a handbasket, right? I'm sorry, guys, this table is just kind of killing me over here. Daryl likes to put stuff right in my way. I'm just kidding, Daryl, you did a great job. I feel like I was really hindered in my flow, right? So I'm purging myself of that hindrance. I'm just going to keep walking. Things are going poorly for the nation of Israel, particularly for Judah, where Joel is writing. And he says, in the midst of all this bad stuff, even now, God says, if you will return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He relents from punishing. It's an interesting concept in the season of Christmas. I'm not suggesting any of you in here are, but we know about people who come to church only in Christmas and Easter, right? We call them Christers, right? The Christer congregation, they come on Christmas, they come on Easter. It's cool. Just own it, you know? That's when you like to come to church. The number one time for people who have fallen out of attendance to church to come back to church is Christmas Eve, by the way. It is the great returning in our culture. And so it's interesting we would talk about this idea of return. We would talk about this idea of coming back. The reality is most of you are here most of the time. So it's a different concept for us. And yet this idea of returning, paired with the idea of purgation, is this idea that even in the midst of those of us who seem most faithful in our journey, there is still some stuff we have in our way to getting back to God. The word return in the Hebrew is the word for repent. But it's different than the Greek word we often hear in the New Testament, metanoia, the changing of the mind. In the Hebrew, the word really means to be open. To be open to God. Sometimes we have so many things built up in our lives that we cannot be open to God doing new things in our midst. Because you all know everything you need to know about God already, right? Your mama told you. We all know moms are the number one source of theological education in America, right? My mama told me Jesus is like, fill in the blank. My daddy told me Jesus was, my preacher growing up said God was like. And we, how many of you do that? How many of you hold on to this thing from the past that determines how God can be in the present? I'm not saying throw it all out, but I am saying you better make sure that your pipes aren't clogged to receive new information. Last night, I was trying to, we had to get a new dryer because ours broke and I was tired of fixing it. And so Jill and I got the dryer hauled up and we got it hooked up and it has a water hookup on the back. We got the water hooked up and then I started a load of laundry in the washer. And I went into the washer and it had stopped. This is our old washer, about 15 years old, but man, she's kicking strong. I don't want to kick her out. I got some emotional attachment. And it stopped. Right about the spin and rinse cycle. And I was like, come on. So I just started back over. And I go back in there, and about 20 minutes later, it stopped on the spin and rinse cycle. And I was like, I just bought this dryer. I don't want to buy a new washer. So here's what had happened. I'd had to cut the water off on the washer to install water to the dryer. And you know what your washer won't do if the water's not turned back on? It won't do a rinse cycle. It'll just stop. The valve was totally shut off. It couldn't get what it needed. We're a lot like that. Our past experiences, our fullness of our mind makes us think that we have it all together. And we can't get what we need to get back to God or open to God. I do love this idea that is so powerful in this passage from Joel. See, tearing of one's clothes was a big deal in the Old Testament. It was a big deal even in Jesus' time. They didn't have the Walmart Supercenter, right? You couldn't just go buy new clothes. Clothes took months to make. Most people only had maybe two sets. My father-in-law tells this great story. It's one of my favorites. I love it. His dad got very sick when he was young, and different people from the town took, there's five of them, my father-in-law, three other brothers and a sister. Different people from the town took them in. And so he was staying with this family who was a little better off, a little more well-to-do, and he had taken everything he owned with him. And so he's there, and he's got like three shirts and two pairs of pants and some undergarments, and they get through that. And the mom says, well, I'll tell you what, do you have a key to your house? Because after school today, we'll go get your other clothes. And the innocence of my father-in-law is still just so amazing. He said, I have more clothes? Because he had what he had. She didn't want to wash, so she went and bought him more clothes. But that's what we do. We just replace it. It's easy to replace stuff. See, tearing clothes was a big deal because you were messing up 50% of your wardrobe. But Joel goes deeper. He says, yeah, that's great for show, but what I'm looking for is that interior brokenness. Everybody loves to talk about brokenness in the Christmas season, right? It's already a very hard holiday. The increase in sadness and depression in the holiday season is important to pay attention to. It's a difficult season on a lot of people with increased loneliness and increased heartache. And we would be foolish and not loving to not pay attention to that. But I want to push it a little bit and talk a little bit more about brokenness. See, there are certain things that if they are broken correctly can never be put back together the same again. And sometimes when that's your favorite bowl, that's not cool. Sometimes when it's your heart, it's exactly what we are called to have happen. We're called to have our hearts torn in a way that they cannot go back together the same. Because we profess that there is a better way for them to be put back together. See, that's it. When our hearts are torn in the right way, when we come to this aha moment, what some people describe as grace by 2x4 to the head. You've been there, right? When you're going on through life and you think everything's great, and for whatever reason, grace sneaks up behind you and smacks you in the head, and you are broken. And you cannot be the same again. And there is something in us that wants to wire our lives in such a way where we don't have those moments. But the reality is we are called to be a people of vulnerability, a people of brokenness, so that when we are torn open, there is an access line for this pouring of the Spirit. That's what God said, rend your hearts, return to me, and afterwards, I'm going to pour my Spirit out. And not just on those people that we think it ought to go to, which in Joel's time would have been the male heirs of the lineage. No, it's going to sons and daughters, to the young and to the old. It's going to everyone. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to check me on it. We know from Scripture that a lack of dreaming dreams is a problem. I don't just mean like when you go to sleep. I don't want to hear all your dreams about being in your underwear in the middle of Target. Not going to tell you about that dream myself either. I mean, a lack of prophesying is a problem. The 29th proverb talks about how when there's a lack of vision, when there's a lack of dreaming, when there's a lack of prophesying, the people perish. I'm going to say this. If we are not having adamant God visions of how the world is being shaped and how we are called to participate in it, then we have some purgation to do. We have a God who's promised to pour out God's Spirit on us. And so, if we are not having those visions and those dreams and those ideas about being called into a deeper, loving relationship with the world, I would suggest we've got some stuff that needs to be torn, to be laid down, to be set aside, so that we are open for a fresh pouring of God's Spirit. Amen.